thank you so much, everyone, for making it to today's CCL training program. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight we're going to jump into leading a lobby team training. In this lesson, we're going to go into detail about the special role of the lobby meeting leader. The lead makes sure that our teams go into the meeting with a plan and with everyone knowing how to work together to ensure a successful meeting takes place. So you may be listening to this call because you know you'll be leading a lobby team meeting for the first time the week of June 14th, or because you realize you might be needed in this role, you're still figuring that out, or simply because you want to deepen the understanding on how to lobby, regardless of which situation you find yourselves in. We are glad to have you with us on this call. Let me introduce our esteemed speaker tonight. Sabrina Fu began her career thinking that science was the key to solving societal problems, but science can only work if you identify the problems and offer some viable technological help. She found this with alternative energy sources, nuclear waste remediation work, and with climate mitigation. Society wants science to do magic. The magic comes in when we decide to do it as a society. Sabrina has appreciated all the magic in play she has seen at CCL, playing every role you can imagine, from volunteer to dedicate volunteer hours still as liaison, co-leader, regional coordinator, amidst a demanding full-time job as program director at the University of Maryland Globalist Campus. I don't know how you fit it all in, but as Sabrina told a group of high school students on the Eastern Shore via a Zoom presentation, how anyone can have time to join CCL given all the demands of her job, she responded, "Because CCL has the most creative and fun people I've ever met in any organization. It is a place to play in the incredible gift of the puzzles life provides." So thank you so much for joining us tonight, Sabrina, and for everyone else for being here. And a quick reminder that after tonight, as Sabrina was highlighting before we started today, we do have the two upcoming specific trainings that Danny is offering. Both of them are taking place on the next two Thursdays, the same line, the same time. The first one next Thursday on June 3rd is going to cover primary and supporting asks and the update for June. And then the one after that will focus specifically on CCL's legislative plan, looking at the context in Congress for the summer and how we fit within that larger milieu. So our agenda tonight, especially for all of our leads out there, is really straightforward. We're going to start by talking about the importance of leads, and then talk about advanced planning with some suggestions of how you can set up your meeting, as well as those meeting practices ahead of time. We'll give you a couple of ideas about additional leadership considerations. But essentially, the big picture is that leading a lobby team, like everything else you might do with CCL, is about building relationships. In this case, you're working to create good relationships among your team members, right? And ultimately between your team and your member of Congress. So as we dive into the nitty-gritty here, please keep that in mind. This is really the overall importance of building that connection and relationships. And with that, I will pass it to you, Sabrina, and we'll get started.
Thanks so much, Brett. Leadership is essential and missing in our world today. As you know, thoughtful leadership is time-consuming as it requires self-reflection as well as getting to know your team. Many of us have had to step out of our comfort zone to be leaders, especially complicated by pandemic year and now transitioning to post-vaccination world. The way I see it, the past year we have had lots of practice in trying new things and re-examining data and shifting our action in light of ever-evolving COVID-19 data. So essentially, we are going to be doing the same thing in this experiment with democracy. This brings us naturally to a quote by John Woods of Braver Angels that I would like to share with you. He said, "Our nation faces a test right now. You could say it's a test of our commitment to social justice, constitutional liberty, economic survival. Each of these may be right, but more than anything, we face a test of our ability to hold true to the civic consciousness of American life that freedom fighters from the revolution to Dr. King and beyond died to give us life to. That is an America in which we meet injustice and political differences with a moral resolve, coupled with goodwill for our neighbors and commitment to the communities that are the cradles of our shared tomorrow. That is what your leadership, all CCL leadership, is about, a commitment to the communities of the cradles of our shared tomorrow." First of all, with so much thrown at us every day, from how to navigate the post-vaccination world to thinking about system changes, we hope that you are taking care of yourself and finding your voice in being part of solutions we need. The systems that we are trying to change at CCL is connected to other systems we also need to change. Each of us are stepping into the unknown, learning new technology, taking on the responsibilities of managing your own team scheduling processes, reaching out and coordinating all of your teammates online while balancing many different changes in a post-vaccination world. We can't thank you enough for being willing to do just that. Put yourselves on the line to help our lobby meeting go well. We are so incredibly grateful to you for all of your hard work. You truly are essential. We can't do it without you. Before we jump into tonight's training, we want to make sure to provide a quick review of the advantages of constituent lobbying as we meet with our members of Congress. A lot of us could feel nervous going into a meeting, and that's a normal feeling. But remember, our advantage is that we are constituents, not professional lobbyists. So although we want to be professional, we don't need to try to be professional lobbyists. This is true. This is as true as it is for our volunteers in Canada, Australia, or any other country. As one of our admirers in Congress have continually shared with his colleagues, these lobbyists, these CCL lobbyists, are seeing us on their own dime. He's just, you know, whenever I hear him say that, he's just like, wow, this is so incredible, right? Relax and be yourself. Do whatever helps you get into the empowering listening space ahead of your meeting. I personally take some deep breaths and focus on gratitude of the team that I do have in front of me. Part of what sets CCL apart in the eyes of congressional office is that we are ordinary people who care deeply about humanity. As humans, we have to accept that there will be mistakes, we'll make mistakes, or our teammates will. There will be things your team will say that could have been said better, and we'll show you how to handle the situation in this training. We are building relationship, so be human and embrace whatever happens. So in the short amount of time that you have for your actual meeting, how you facilitate that meeting is important. So let's step back and consider the bigger picture for just a moment. The bigger picture is this. You as meeting leaders are well positioned to nurture and empower others. Make it one of your goals to be mentor to your lobby team. So that they build the capacity to do this work. How does a meeting lead help others grow and empower them? The best leaders have faith in those around them. And that's what we're asking you to do. Having faith in others mean that we know there are going to be some coachable moments. To feel empowered, people need to be put into situations where they can both succeed and fail, and where failure is part of the learning process. So as leaders, your role is to bring the best out in people. You can do this during planning or practice during the meeting and after the meeting. The meeting leader is like a conductor. The leader is there to manage the meeting, not to dominate the meeting. There will be exceptions, such as when there is a long established relationship and expertise on the topic that is ongoing between the leader and the office. This means that the leader is not necessarily the one who talks the most, but who is in charge of the transition points of the meeting, between speakers, between roles, getting the conversation back on track, wrapping things up, cueing people verbally over verbally or in online meetings, maybe non-verbally, such as through chat or text. So we want to make sure that people have a chance to talk and that we don't go off track. So if constituents liaison present, the leader also ensures that constituents are heard from. And hopefully with online meetings, you know, you have more and more constituents at your meetings. It is helpful to look for facial and body cues in face-to-face meetings that are diluted in Zoom meetings. Something to consider for the future. When we are preparing for face-to-face meetings on the Hill, I will ask my team to look to see who the staff or the MOC appears to be most interested in hearing from, and that person needs to speak up more than originally planned. The leader should also be able to understand the meeting situation and respond accordingly. The goal of deepening relationship should be the forefront of your lobby of your lobby team's mind. In addition, given the fact that we are in 2021 and the relationship we have built upon the past decade, we can move forward with confidence that we have the policy acumen, the skill set, and the grassroots support to pass effective legislation such as carbon fee and dividend. Brett will share more about this at the end of the presentation. I wanted to mention that the conductor needs to be aware of the times and adapt with what is needed at the stage of our relationship with the office you are meeting with and in the context of 2021. One example of this is that you can help younger people feel a part of the team is through technology. They often have such a much easier time working new technology. And so please ask them to help along with your meeting, especially the online meetings. CCL recommends including a volunteer in each meeting who is solely to be helping your team with managing the technology platform you will be using. Now, Brett for advanced planning.
All right, so let's jump into some of the most important considerations to keep in mind as you help your team with advanced planning. In the time you take now, and I'm guessing some of you are already in that stage of really thinking through how to plan for your lobby meeting and how you can use that to empower your team. So that's what we're calling overall advanced planning. While setting the appointment early on is key, and I'm guessing some of you may be doing that already or have already confirmed that with your office, we are encouraging appointment setters to be sure to ask the congressional office when they're doing that, how they would like to meet, whether it's just a phone only appointment on Zoom, WebEx, another preferred platform. We obviously have access across our states to Zoom, and so you probably are most conversant with that, but you can, as a team, practice on whatever platform the member of Congress or the staffer prefers, and we're going to help you set that up. And if you need help on that front, you can reach out to your regional coordinator. You can reach out on our forums. We've got a wonderful tech support forum. If you're ever curious about where to go, you can just put it really anywhere across any of the forums and it'll come to the right place. But a couple of the other examples that we have on specific like meeting security considerations or on facilitating a Zoom meeting are really helpful. We're not going to go into all of those details tonight, but we do recommend them if you as lead are all of a sudden in a position where you would like to make sure to feel more comfortable and conversant with the technology that the member has indicated that they're going to be using. And you can always just simply Google support plus the name of the platform too. So Teams support or tutorials for Skype, whatever it might be, you can easily search online outside of our universe and CCL community too. But again, a quick link, it's just cclusa.org/forums is a wonderful way for you to get that help that you might need specifically within CCL and the forums that we offer. All right, so let's talk next then, after you've determined what platform that the member or staffer prefers, who wants to get involved? The key thing that you're wanting to make sure to think through as lead is balancing, assessing who wants to get involved with your district with who would be an important voice and trusted messenger to help move your member forward. Sometimes those are clearly some of the same constituents, sometimes they might not be. And so being able to really highlight those voices that you think can move forward and build that relationship of trust with your member is really one of the key areas to think through. And I know that Amy has done a wonderful job on her liaison calls thinking about some of those trade-offs. But again, trusted messengers could include anything like local business leaders, faith leaders, civic leaders, personal connections that the member of Congress might have in your network. And really, our ideal size, whether it's an in-person meeting or online, traditionally has been 5 to 6 people, so everyone can inhabit a role and not step on each other's toes. But there's plenty of examples of larger groups also having key success and demonstrating that support from the district for policies like the Energy Innovation Act. So if you as lead in connecting with the rest of your group, the leadership team, whether it's group leaders, the liaisons in your district, assess that what is needed for this June lobby meeting more than anything is a large demonstration of support for a lot of your volunteers to show up. Know that it's entirely all right for a large group to have that space. And we can think through some of those considerations, including having observer roles so people show up and know that their main objective is just to show up and be respectful in the video feed without actually having an assigned role or speaking part, to having a whole bunch of people prepare their stories, and having the main purpose of the actual meeting be sharing and disseminating each of those climate stories from the attendees. So again, it's key considerations and the trade-offs. The other thing that we wanted to highlight is that whatever you do pick for your lobby meeting time with the member of Congress or the staff, as soon as you know that, it's going to be key to coordinate as early as possible with the rest of your team to make sure everyone's available. All right, so now let's think through, if you've kind of come up with who you want to have on your team, what your objective is to kind of define the size, I think the next key consideration is how are you going to assemble those teams, right? And as lobby leads, you this time around have the same situation that we've had last December or March and last June. So it's been a couple of cycles. If you're new to it, what that means is that CCL headquarters is not going to be creating schedules, assigning you team members. That's really all on you and your team. So appointments are set on the local level. There's still an appointment setting log that Amy is working with liaisons to make sure to keep updated so we're all in sync and know who's got success for which days. But if you are an old CCL veteran and are used to kind of having a schedule assigned to you, you just show up and put your name in the hat, you need to work on the local level this time around to make sure that you're aware of what your team is doing and is involved with. And once you've got that team assembled, you want to make sure that everyone on the team has the time to participate in your planning and practice sessions. So we want to make sure to set the expectation that if somebody is willing to be a part of your team and a part of this meeting, that they can at least attend a personalized quick, you know, even if it's a 5-minute one-on-one session with you, practice session. So you know who they are, you get a read for who they are ahead of the meeting. We don't have any surprises heading into the actual lobby meeting. So with that, the other key thing is we want you to feel like you are empowered and trusted to know your member of Congress best, to plan the best agenda. We'll get into that in just a little bit, and to use whatever priorities you have in your meeting to move your member forward to deepen that relationship. And as Debbie has put in the chat, if you have any questions or you want to think through the logistics of this, Amy Bennett, our Director of Congressional Liaisons and Lobby Days, is the point on staff for that. And her email is simply amy@citizensclimate.org. So if for whatever reason you've never heard of her or you'd like to get more in touch, given your unique situation on the ground, please feel free to email her. All right, so what I also want to close with, I've just got a couple of other slides before I'll pass it back to Sabrina here, is once you've got all of that set up, what do you also want to send to the office in advance of the actual meeting? Well, what we recommend, and this is based on Congressional Management Foundation recommendations, is that you do at least send an agenda, a list of who will be attending from your constituency, and our primary ask, right? And if you have further evidence and support, in fact, in our May action sheet even, there was a whole action on this, think about what you can bring digitally, given that you won't have a physical delivery of a whole box of papers with a Zoom meeting or whatever platform you're using. What can you demonstrate support from the district with in your meeting? Is it signed endorsements? Is it a video testimonial? Is it a series of slides that your congressional district has created, each telling their own story? Are some of the postcards to the president evocative and storytelling that you'd like to add for your meeting? Are there other ways that you can bring in voices that maybe can't attend the meeting live, still have a short session as part of your meeting, demonstrate that support and persuade your member to show that it's not just you that's showing up, especially if you have a smaller team for your meeting? And again, if you're curious about what the primary ask and the leave behind is, we'll go over that next Thursday night. So this is the one slide that we have. If you're doing a Zoom meeting, this is the recap of what that should look like. And this is actually one of Sabrina's teams, I believe, as a photo that was doing their own practice. So there's some special online considerations that you want to go over. It's helpful to set up a text group on your phone for all of your team members. And you can use this to communicate with each other before and even during the lobby team meeting. So if somebody all of a sudden doesn't realize it, but they're unmuted, you can have that text group set up to capture that. So it's an online, it's a discussion happening offline from the meeting with your core team, almost like kicking somebody under the table as if we were in person. You wanna make sure to minimize any distractions. So as the lobby lead, remind your team member to silence their phones, mute any kind of calendar notification that may ding. If they've got Slack or some other program that constantly sends them little alarms, make sure that those are all quietly muted so that we don't have a lot of dinging notifications, you know, distracting from the actual content. And then you want to remind your team to look professional, right? We want to look like we're here, we mean business, and we have attire that means that we want to be taken seriously. And still in DC, the expectation, if we were to be meeting in person, is business attire. So suits, blouses, ties, button-ups, whatever it might be for your team, thinking through what the appearance of everyone is and encouraging them to look professional, as well as looking at their background. So if you've got a big pile of dirty laundry or unwashed dishes, have a virtual background like me. I've got both behind me, but you don't notice it right now. I just happen to be in a library, right? So think about what you look like, not only personally, but behind you and where your camera's at. So practice with your team that you're not having people look too closely or having the up nostril view, but you're actually looking directly, confidently, and as you communicate directly at that webcam so that your experience can be one of human to human connection. And then lastly, you want to think through how you can have your team show up on your actual Zoom or whatever platform you're using with your presence made. So for example, you can put the location where you're at or the role that you have in your community or your preferred pronouns, whatever it might be. You can practice renaming yourselves like I just did so that your story isn't just Fred's iMac, but having your name tell where you're coming from and what your identity is that you're bringing into this meeting. Lastly, you want to make sure on that practice meeting that you're troubleshooting any internet connections. So if your team members are having a hard time connecting, this is the time to catch it and figure out how they can improve it for the meeting. So it's not a source of distraction. And amidst all of that, the last thing I'll just share is that things are going to go off. That's human nature. And the key thing that you as lead can bring to all of this is a positive attitude of adaptability, right? And so how can you be flexible amidst all of that planning and be ready to roll with whatever may show up for the actual meeting? That kind of constant tug of war and balancing act is key. But I'll pass it back to you, Sabrina, and let's jump in specifically to some meeting planning suggestions.
Okay, thanks so much, Brett. So we reviewed how to get your team planning process going, so let's now review some ideas for connecting and coordinating your team. So once your team is firmed up, introduce yourself via email and then call, right? We all get so many emails these days that a one-to-one personal call can really, well, first of all, I think it'll just save time, but it'll also increase connection so much more. So when you call each person, ask which role they would prefer to fill. If they're new to CCL, then it might be a good time to review and explain the importance of each role, especially if you don't know the volunteer who will be joining your team. Spend a few minutes getting to know them can help you determine what role they might fill and develop trust in each other. Send out an email introducing your whole team members to each other. Ask them to choose from a list of dates for planning meeting or several meetings between now and your lobby date to get them up and running. In your email to your team, you can also include any relevant links that may help them and perhaps summarize the meeting plan, right? You can also use CCL's meeting template if you like. Key items to discuss include appreciation, primary ask, the ask supporting ask if you feel that is needed, and open-ended question for discussions. And it's really nice to have somebody just choose anything that they appreciate. Our last meeting, somebody wanted to thank the office for making Southern Maryland a, you know, Maryland Heritage Site. And the first one of the congressional aides lighted up because that was my bill, and it just really made her day. So it was a wonderful way to connect. And, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be about climate, right? Okay, I think we'll go on to the next one. What you are as meeting lead doing to prepare for your meeting session. So please put in the chat and then Brett will summarize for us. And while Brett's looking in the chat, I'm going to share some of the things that has generally worked, right? So always try to read through at least the last year or two of full meeting notes so that we can build upon what's happened in the past, right? If there's a meeting plan submitted by the liaison, then review that. Discuss the meeting plan strategy or create one with your team. For June, CCL wants you to email the main primary ask and carbon pricing is popular resource ahead of time. This will be available on June 3rd, exactly the wording that Danny wants you to send, okay? And so Danny's gonna be updating us on the primary supporting ask on a week from today. Same time, same place. Okay. Review the concept of open-ended questions and supporting asks and when you would use them. We use supporting asks to build additional support to work together with the office outside of our primary ask. If not already specific in the meeting plan, then help the team settle on a supporting ask. I think Brett's going to put the template there. Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't see too well as I age. As lead, you will want to facilitate the transition verbally or with your body language cues. In the case of virtual meetings, or you may have to use text. A verbal cue could sound something like this. Leela, would you like to tell us why we are here today and what we're asking for? During the planning meeting, let the team know how you plan to cue them on what they should be doing next. Or if you've practiced well enough, your team may not need cues at all. Do what feels right for you in the situation. Another thing to consider is that there are sample meetings outlines on CCL Community. If you have time to view them with your team, then go for it. But remember that in the end, you really want to be present and listen and be very much aware of the situation. You do want to go over, so during the planning meeting, so you do need to assign roles, right? That just gets you off to a good start. And we'll discuss roles in greater details in planning your lobby meeting. We already discussed those roles in greater detail in a previous CCL planning your lobby meeting training, which I know that Brett will be able to show you where the recording is. If your team settles into a plan that you and others feel good about, you're also welcome to email the broad overview bullet points of your agenda to the office ahead of time. Research from the Congressional Management Foundation has done in the past has highlighted that the staff tends to appreciate being prepared, you know, to know what they're going to be talking about. Brett?
Thanks so much, Sabrina. So one last slide on this section, and that is your meeting roles. We have other trainings and resources that specifically dive into more of the details behind the roles. But as meeting lead, you should encourage everyone to participate in the discussion and be flexible enough that if the staffer or the member of Congress is paying attention to that one person in particular, really keying in on them during your meeting, you can have that person speak more than the others. After all, we are betting the ranch on relationships. Even though everyone is encouraged to speak when they have something to say, it's also important to have at least these six roles on the slide assigned so that we don't forget the basics. And as a team, we cover everything. So here's a quick refresher on what those roles look like. The appreciator offers a thank you to the member of Congress as you begin the meeting, something that you genuinely are thankful for their leadership on. The main asker gives the primary and supporting asks. So what are you delivering as your ask in that meeting? And how can you make sure that you get a clear response? The note taker is the scribe. They are capturing everything, especially that happens in the meeting in terms of the staffer and the member of Congress's thoughts, reactions, responses, and recording it. The time monitor makes sure that we stay on time, that we don't exceed what we've said that we would have for the meeting, and also can help track the number of open-ended questions that are being asked of the member to elicit more response, and the percentage of time that that member or staffer is talking compared to what CCLers are speaking. Tech support role is the main host. It's the person that feels comfortable with the online platform that can help other people unmute, monitor the chat, any other security settings to make sure that you have set up. Again, we have a great conference video meeting security training on this specifically for Zoom to help you with waiting rooms and removing people should you have any bad actors. It's always great to have somebody in that tech support role that knows and feels comfortable with what they're doing. Follow-up, that person is in charge of emailing the follow-up, any other links that we've identified in the meeting, next steps that you've committed to in the actual discussion, and the meeting lead, which is you.
Now, obviously, it's great to have additional roles like the photographer, where you can get permission from the member of staff to take a screenshot to share with your large chapter or on social media afterwards, you name it. Remember, your role as the meeting lead will be to assess your team's interests and skills and work together to assign coverage that really fits well for each of these. All right, so let's now jump into expressing leadership and discussing the leadership considerations right before, during, and then after your lobby meeting.
So before you actually get into your meeting, we recommend that you as a group set up a plan to do a pre-meeting huddle. So what's your game plan? What you actually kind of think through one last time? It could be on a different Zoom meeting ID. It can be on the same one, as long as you're prepared that the staffer may show up early too. On that meeting, you want to review your roles or reassign them if somebody gets sick or can't join at the last minute. You want to remind people on your team of the goal. You want to make sure to look through everyone feeling good, looking good, ready to step up the game. You want to review your main asks and what you're going to do after you actually do the main ask. Again, will you introduce or co-sponsor legislation that puts a steadily rising fee on carbon emissions and return that revenue back to households? If they say no, what's the rest of your meeting going to look like? How can you make sure to think through strategically and get them to do those baby steps, those building blocks to get a yes, to have something to work on after the meeting, to have that ongoing relationship and a reason to meet again? You want to remind everyone to watch you for cues to have these transitions. You want to make sure if you have any late arrivers that you've checked in, texted them, let them know what your plan is. And in general, just really, you as a leader have so much influence in influencing the tone of how people are preparing for that meeting. So if you feel nervous and you're projecting nervousness, other people are going to pick up on that. If you get a lot of sleep the night before and are well hydrated and make this fun and enjoyable, other people are going to feel that too. It's really a choose your own adventure. And just know that you have a lot of presence and power with that leadership role, and have fun with it. At the end of the day, this is all about building those relationships like we highlighted at the beginning. So let's give you just a couple of examples of topics that you can use to transition. And I'll pass it to you, Sabrina, to kind of kick off this little section.
So one way to verbally signal transition is just to be explicit. An example might sound like this. Congresswoman, I want to thank you for your recent efforts to protect your constituents from identity theft. That's a very important issue to us as well. Today, we're here to talk about another important topic. So Brett is going to let you know more about why we are here today and what we are seeking. So in this example, I explicitly transitioned to Brett.
Excellent. I'll pick up from there. We'll do the next one here too. So maybe it's your fourth meeting with this member, and you may not need to establish even that primary ask. They know who you are. They know your purpose. They know the main reason and policy that CCL supports. And really, the conversation is meant to explore current events like President Biden's American Jobs Plan. So you can say, again, this is one example. It can be anything that you might want to look at. But highlighting, hey, this plan makes climate a priority. We are so excited about this. Now is the time. We know it's essential to take big, bold actions to reduce emissions. We also are here to know, we know that a price on carbon is the single most powerful tool we have in our toolbox to reduce emissions. And so we're going to continue to work on making sure that it's included in whatever climate legislation might advance this year in Congress. And depending on your office, if they are conservative, they're concerned about taxing corporations, frame it like, why tax all corporations when we can just tax the ones selling pollution? If there are ones that are really concerned about impacts again on lower income earners, given that importance of the dividends, sending money back directly to American households to support them in the clean energy transition, framing your transition from appreciation to ask, depending on your audience, is key, and it doesn't have to be a one size fits all. And I'll pass it back to you, Sabrina.
Thanks, Brett. So each meeting is different, so proceed in the way that feels comfortable and appropriate for your situation. Being present and being a good listener are essential in determining which parts of the plans need to be scrapped. So here's an example demonstrating how you might transition from the discussion to the end of the meeting close. Congresswoman, I see that we are nearing the end of our time with you today. And we want to recap and clarify the main takeaways we have about the next steps we plan to take with your office following today's excellent meeting. As a leader, you will do a lot of advanced planning and preparation, and that's really important. But we can't plan let our plans and preparations go on autopilot. We practice ahead of time, but you never know how the scenario will play out. That's why we always need to be focused on what is being said at the moment, and as a team, be ready to help each other respond to what we're actually hearing, not what we expect, want, or think we heard. As the meeting leader, you should recognize when it is appropriate to diverge from your plan. We refer to this as situational awareness. It is the ability to perceive and understand what is happening at the moment and being able to react to the challenge as it happens. Good situational awareness means you're not only listening to the words being said, but also the tone and the tone of the voice and the body language too. One of the benefits of having a team is that if you don't pick up on a particular clue from your members of Congress or staffer, one of your fellow lobbyists might. It is important for your team to trust each other to speak up when they see something. All team members should be empowered to ask follow-up questions or redirect a derailed conversation.
Yeah, here's to that. And here's to another important skill set as a leader that you are probably already developing, but we'll just name it explicitly. And that is having your ear in the meeting to listening to who isn't being heard. As the team lead, our goal is grounded in empowering others to thrive in their role within the lobby team and moving your member of Congress forward. So one of the ways you can do that is by taking note of who isn't actually being heard, or especially if somebody's being too vocal, even if they weren't planning on it and all of a sudden they're oversharing. We've all been in those meetings. So take note if there's a power dynamic going on in your group and have a plan as a leader to gracefully transition into inviting other people to share in that conversation. Now, it may be strategic in your meeting that you do want to have one or two constituents or key leaders have an outsized proportion in their presence. That's entirely fine. But this is specifically if you feel like somebody is dominating that you weren't planning on having in that role. And so practicing something like, Sabrina, I'd like to just pause for a moment and see if there's something that X would like to add. The key thing here is that lobbying is a team sport, and it's our role as leaders to make sure that all voices that are showing up and, you know, putting the time into practice are being heard of and invited as part of that meeting. But I wanted to close with three last considerations, one of which is, what do you do after the meeting? As meeting lead, we recommend that ahead of time, you communicate with your team, hey, let's do a debrief on a separate Zoom meeting ID. Or whatever you want to meet, maybe it's just a text stream, whatever it is for you, just so that your team can process what went well, what could be improved, what were people's takeaways, who was the note taker, and sharing those notes together to give collective feedback, and highlighting who is going to be doing what. I heard that Sabrina said that she would be the point on this. Really confirming that follow-up and the responsibilities for that is key. And a debrief is a really good way to codify that into all of our commitment. Planning your follow-up. How are you going to thank them? Making sure as lead, after a day or two, that these things have been done. Somebody's submitted the meeting minutes. Somebody's initiated that next step. Whoever is responsible for taking the thank you on has also done that. Just a quick reminder for those that haven't seen it yet, we do have a meeting minutes form. It's available with a short link. It's just cclusa.org/minutes. You can also just go to our action tracker, and that's available at our homepage, and then click, as this highlighted slide is showing, contact with legislator. You click that, and then your lobby meeting option is available. If you have any questions, we put Amy's email in the chat as well as on this slide again. You're always welcome to distinguish things with her.
We talked earlier about the note taker and that role of the person assigned to capture the details of the meeting and really submit the team's collective impression after a debrief via our action tracker. The key thing too to emphasize with meeting minutes is that these are confidential. They're not to be shared with anyone after being submitted beyond your lobby team and your regional coordinator. It's essential to keep in mind that we're in the relationship business, and any breach of these notes can ruin the trust that we've built up with that office. These meeting minutes are important documents. They help us build momentum. As the meeting lead, we ask you to review the notes a final time with your note taker before you submit them to make sure that they submit them electronically and that you also feel like they accurately represent the spirit of that meeting. So if you look at the meeting minutes form ahead of time, you'll get some prompts for questions to ask and think through things with your team to be aiming for in the meetings. The meeting minutes are going to ask you the following questions. You're going to want to make sure to capture as accurate window as possible into your members' position on the Energy Innovation Act. And to track this over time, CCL has developed a grading scale. Further down grades actually indicate more favorable positions for us. So a D is better than an A. And in order to make your best, most accurate estimate, we do hope that during the meeting, you're able to get clarity on this position. Who is present? Legislative staff, including names and titles. Anyone else present in terms of constituents, business leaders, people that you're bringing in as trusted messengers? Your note should mainly emphasize the legislator's concerns, comments, and questions. It should capture the percentage of time the member or the staff are talking compared to CCL. And a reminder that we're aiming for at least a 50-50 split of the member and the staff are talking. The note should capture the number of open-ended questions that are being asked by CCL. You should also record any endorsements or statements that were shared in the lobby meeting. You want to record the follow-up tasks, as well as what we could be doing more of in the district to make it easier for that member to continue or to step out and support the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So make sure to try to include that question in your meeting so that you can record it in your notes. And again, one final element to note, with the online format of our meetings this year, our normal tool used to log appointment plans has had some limitations. The biggest one is going to be for you to set up as the meeting lobby meeting ID. It might be hard to find. It was mailed to the appointment center once they confirmed the appointment. And to address this, if you are the note taker and never was forwarded that lobby meeting ID from your appointment center, feel free to ask them if they have it, or you can also enter the number 99999 to proceed. So again, any questions, ask Amy. And we are so grateful for you making the time to ask all of these questions. And with that, we'd like to close with one last slide, a quick reminder that you are powerful. Before hearing some closing words from our Senior Director of Government Affairs, Ben Pendergrass, we wanted to emphasize again that you are in a relationship building business. And one key goal with these meetings is to keep asking open-ended questions until you really address some of the underlying factors. For example, if your member of Congress might be saying they have business concerns, keep asking those underlying concerns, or keep addressing those underlying concerns and asking them, what businesses are you most concerned about? What industries do you want to make sure that you want us to seek out the impacts behind? By making sure that you understand what their concerns are and walking out with some specific actions that you can take, your team is going to feel more focused and confident on what they can do to continue to advance this dialogue and partnership forward. And it's also going to provide your members' office confidence that you're here to help them address their concerns and know how to step forward further on climate. And to help ground all of us on the empowerment and the importance that CCL volunteers are looked to on climate policy by their offices, here is a quick reflection from Ben Pendergrass.
But a lot of times now when members want to introduce bills around climate, the first call is to CCL. They really want CCL support. They know that CCL can make stuff happen, that the volunteers are out there meeting with folks and developing these relationships. And we have become a sought after resource. I think a good antidote that besides we're getting inundated by a lot of requests. It's keeping the DC staff very, very busy. But a good instance, it hasn't happened yet, but just as the way they're thinking, Debbie Stabenow's staff was talking to a reporter, a reporter was talking to Debbie Stabenow herself for a piece they're doing on the Growing Climate Solutions Act that may appear sometime. And when Grist asked, well, who should we talk to about this? Who would you direct us to? And they're like, go talk to CCL. That's who you should talk to. They also said Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, but I would still say, like, the fact that the first name they came up with is they need to talk to us. just shows how things are going, developing, and it's going far beyond just carbon pricing. Everybody knows about carbon pricing, but now they're thinking about CCL when it comes to anything climate related.
All right, thank you, Ben, for that. And with that powerful close, we want to close by saying thank you so much for stepping forward again into this role. If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to email Sabrina or I. Our emails are here. I know that we've pointed you to many resources on community. You're also welcome to clarify anything that you might be curious about or having a hard time finding on our forums. That link is provided here as well. And we look forward to hearing how your meetings are going to go. I know they're going to be a wonderful chance to continue the dialogue with each of the congressional offices to address one of the most powerful tools that we have in our toolkit on managing the risks of climate change. Thanks so much, everyone, and have a great night.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.